Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Pachinabharati, text number 51. Savai Priya Tamaschatma Yato Nabhayamanvapi Vedasavai Vitman Yo Vitmansa Gurudhari. Translation. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated. And one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the world. One who is an actually bona fide spiritual master, representative of Krishna, is not different from Krishna. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Saksattaritvena samasta sastarutastadava yate eva sati. The spiritual master is described in every scripture as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master is accepted as identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. Kintu praborya priya eva tasya. The purport is that both the super soul and the individual soul are very dear to everyone. Everyone loves himself, and when he becomes more advanced, he loves the super soul also. A person who is self-realized does not recommend the worship of anyone but the super soul. He knows that to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead is easier than to worship various demigods under the influence of lust and desire for material enjoyment. The devotee is therefore always engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such a person is a true guru. In Padma Purana, it is said, Sat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visarada avaishnava kuru nasyat vaishnava svapacho guru. Even if a brahmana is very learned in Vedic scriptures and knows the six occupational duties of a brahmana, he cannot become a guru or spiritual master unless he is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, if one is born in a family of dog eaters, but is a pure devotee of the Lord, he can become a spiritual master. The conclusion is that one cannot become a spiritual master unless he is a pure devotee of the Lord. One who is a spiritual master in accordance with the above descriptions of devotional service is to be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally present. According to the words mentioned here, Guru Hari, consulting a bona fide spiritual master means consulting the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. One should therefore take shelter of such a bona fide spiritual master. Success in life means accepting a spiritual master who knows Krishna as the only supreme beloved personality. One should worship such a confidential devotee of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find a description of Madhavendra Puri and how Madhavendra Puri was roaming over the earth, and wherever he came, he always felt great separation of Krishna. And although he met many devotees, he never met a devotee like himself. He never met a devotee who was so deeply absorbed in love of God as he was. He met many great pious persons who dedicated their life in worship of the Supreme Lord, who faithfully worshipped the deity. He met many learned pundits who really knew the scriptures very well and could explain it also. But he did not meet anyone who had just fully realized love of God until he met Lord Nityananda. And when he met Lord Nityananda, the two of them immediately could see that they shared that deep love of God. And although at the time, Madhavendra Puri was accompanied by his disciples, he forgot everything and just spontaneously roared and embraced Nityananda, who responded in a similar way. And while they were embracing each other, they crashed to the ground and rolled over the ground, still in that embrace. And all the disciples were shocked to see such an ecstatic display of love of God. So, when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, he was speaking in a Vyasa Puja offering to his spiritual master. And he explained the nature of Guru Tattva. And he explained that the nature of that Guru Tattva is Akanda. Sadguru is one. Is one. Because there is only one message. There is only one absolute truth. And therefore, it cannot be that there are different gurus with different teachings. Therefore, Guru is one in that sense. But then Srila Prabhupada explains, he said, yes, the spiritual masters are all explaining the same transcendental knowledge which comes down in the cyclic succession from Krishna. So in that way, no change. But just as there are different lights of different strength, in the same way, there are different spiritual masters who are having different strength. So, when Srila Prabhupada was in America, the preaching in the early days started in New York and then spread to San Francisco. At one point, Prabhupada became ill and suffered from heart problems, and when he became weak due to these matters, it was difficult for him to deal with the cold weather. So he wanted to go to a warmer place. So they said, California, San Francisco, better place. But San Francisco is the one place in California where it's freezing cold. Yeah. Not always, but many times. So it was cold. So Prabhupada finally decided that he would go back to India. And he really needed the heat of India. So his mind was fixed about leaving. So the devotees were saying, like, well, what will we do? What will we do without you? How will we carry on? Will be very difficult. One suggested that maybe one of your god brothers can come and just sort of, you know, to take care, like in your place. And then Prabhupada became emotional. He became emotional, and then he said. My spiritual master is not an ordinary spiritual master. In other words, one cannot just replace the spiritual master. And of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was certainly not an ordinary spiritual master. And nor was Srila Prabhupada an ordinary spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was and is such a spiritual master that he is the one who sets the standards in every respect. faultless. One cannot find any moment that he was not Krishna conscious. That when the door was closed, that he put his feet on the table and said, "Ah, boy, that was a hard day's work, you know. Phew, finally can relax. Let's turn on a movie." No, nothing like that. Not like any moment of taking a break. Right? No break. Because susukham kritamavyam, that devotional service was the greatest source of pleasure. That he didn't need a break. In fact, when health became an issue and would interfere with his service, then with his preaching, that he didn't like. A forced break. When Prabhupada was here in Vrindavan, he became very ill with a very high fever. And a VIP came to visit this temple. And Prabhupada came down from his quarters, although he was feeling not well, with a high fever, and just preached. And not a trace of the disease was there while preaching. And then after, he went back to his room, ill again, and really ill. Such a desire. It is by desire to glorify Krishna, desire to preach, that one can do miracles. And then Krishna reciprocates and gives the strength. It brings to mind another story in Mayapur. How Prabhupada's sister was cooking for Prabhupada kachoris, his favorite, in mustard oil. Yes. And Prabhupada ate those kachoris and within 15 minutes became totally unwell. Yeah. And said, called the servant, rang the bell, and said, "My sister tried to poison me." Yeah. This is the original poison theory. "My sister tried to poison me," he said. "These kachoris were not cooked." And then he got dysentery and became quite, quite ill. Then it was like, due to weakness of diarrhea and everything, the devotees got very worried. And then Prabhupada, in the middle of all that, said, "Call my sister." Not his sister, anything but his sister, not his sister. But what could they do? So they called the sister, and then Prabhupada told that she should make eggplant and puris. The devotee is thinking that this is the end. Eggplant and puris, dysentery. Now he will leave his body. She will successfully kill him. This is it. So she came with the eggplant and puri, and Prabhupada ate the eggplant and puri, and then Prabhupada said, "Ah, my mother always used to make eggplant and puri when we had dysentery." So, but anyway, he was still not so well. He was recovering, but he was scheduled to go to Europe, to England. So, although Prabhupada would sit up normally in the plane, this time he was not well, and the servant went to sit in the back, and Prabhupada had two seats. And he was lying down on the two seats, not well. When he came to England, and they drove in the car, he was not well in the car. But that was the year, 1973, when Prabhupada performed that amazing Ratha Yatra in London. When he danced in front of the chariot, and ran up and down, and when the chariot was stopping all the time because Prabhupada stopped. He stopped and danced. And the police told Brahmananda, because he looked like he was in charge, bigger than everyone else. So they told him, tell the old man to move. And Brahmananda looked at the police and he looked at Prabhupada, and he was thinking of whom he was the most fearful, and he was thinking Prabhupada. So he didn't care about what the cops said, right? So then the policeman, with great force, said, "Tell him to move!" So then Brahmananda became more fearful and turned to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, the police want you to move. And Prabhupada just looked at him, and Brahmananda became the size of a mouse. That was it. And he couldn't do anything to stop Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so happy, dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. And that Lord Jagannath was here, being pulled through the streets of London. And when Jagannath stood on that Trafalgar Square is a nice square. It has a memorial to Nelson called the Nelson Column. And the way that memorial is made, that there is a platform at the base, and then some sort of big stone needle going up into the sky. And the platform is so big that there is space for the chariots to be on the platform, raised above the square. So the chariots stood above the square, like that, on a raised platform. So it was really something, you know, like exhibited there for the world to see. And the newspapers wrote that the chariot rivals Nelson's column. And Prabhupada was in ecstasy. This was his greatest ecstasy. Here in Vrindavan, the six Goswamis, they were the talk of town. Everyone was talking about the six Goswamis. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that when the Bengali Vaishnavas would come to Vrindavan, that they would immediately inquire about Rupa and Sanatan, try to see Rupa and Sanatan. They were the center of the attention when they were in Vrindavan. Everyone wanted to see these amazing Vaishnavas. Srinivasacharya, in his Sat Goswami Astak, wrote, "Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamri Tambo Nidhi." He wrote, "Krishna Utkirtan," always absorbed in loud kirtan, loud glorification, loudly glorifying Krishna. And in this way, immersed in an ocean of transcendental love. So same way, Srila Prabhupada, the very same thing we see, always speaking about Krishna. When we had meetings here during the construction of Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi, there was one good proposal which was never accepted. But I think it was good. It was about making two panels in the back, on the back wall. And the themes of those panels were proposed to be based on two verses. Yara deke tarakaha Krishna upadesh amarakyai guru hai taraydesh. Or whomever you meet, instruct him about Krishna, or teach him the instructions of Krishna. In this way, become a spiritual master and deliver the entire country or the entire world. And the other verse was Eti Chamsat Kalapunsa Krishna Stubhagavan Swayam Indriyari Vyakulam Lokam Vidyanti Yuge. That Krishna Stubhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the rationale behind these two panels was that one was showing what Prabhupada did, going around the world, and everywhere instructing people about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then really, once people had come, then to explain the position of Krishna, that amongst all the incarnations of Krishna, or all the incarnations of the Lord, I should say, there is one that is the origin, Govindam Adi Purusham, Sri Krishna. So in this way, establishing the position of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he published a thesis posthumously, an unfinished thesis, when he was working in his doctoral thesis in Cambridge. And I must say that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was a very powerful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who did a lot in many areas to push on this movement. Household life. He did a lot to push on this movement. And in many fields, he was the one who bought the land in Mayapur. He was the one who was involved with the big Tamil program on the Maidan in Bombay. He was the one who became the GVC for India, which was impossible. It was very difficult. But he was the one. So when he went to Cambridge, he also really did something. And his he wrote a thesis. And usually, when devotees get into the academic field and they write a thesis, they try to show that they actually are learned and know what's out there. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was different. For him, the attack was the best defense. So sure enough, he went for it. Yeah? He went for every scholar that ever said anything about Prabhupada. His thesis was about Prabhupada. Then anybody who said anything about Prabhupada, first he took the ones who didn't say such glorious things, and he just went there and and rubbish. Next, he went to the ones who glorified Prabhupada. And then he said, he pointed out that it was all very nice that they glorified Prabhupada for being a very powerful and charismatic personality, a great teacher who took things from east to west. But he said, nice work, but not good enough. Dismiss that also. And ultimately, after analyzing everything, he dismissed everything any academic ever wrote about Prabhupada as being incomplete. And then he established that Prabhupada was not only a pure devotee of the Lord, who had fully realized the conclusions of the scriptures, but then he established what the conclusion of these scriptures were. And he said, Prabhupada had a Mahakavya. He had a major kavya, major sentence, major word, a major phrase, which was sort of summarizing the essence of his mission. He said, and that Mahakavya of Prabhupada was Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is very interesting. Very interesting. Because we see that this is based on the verse of Eti Cham Sekala Punsam Krishna Stubhagavan Svayam Indrani Vyakalam Lokam Nidhiyakti Yuge Yuge. And that this verse has by Jiva Goswami declared to be the Paribhasa Sutra, or the one verse that sheds light to an entire text. The Paribhasa Sutra is one verse in the text that lights up the whole text, or that makes us understand how to interpret the whole text. So Jiva Goswami identified this verse. So Jiva Goswami emphasized, this is the essence, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And Prabhupada took it and then translated the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, of course, Tamal Krishnavais analyzed that further by pointing out Godhead, how the Supreme Lord is manifesting himself in Anantarupam, in so many forms. But that from one deepa, one original candle, many others can be lit. But the original candle is still the source. So our Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. Our all are just expanding from Krishna, and he is the Adipurusha. So in this way, Tamal Krishna Maharaj established Srila Prabhupada also as a theologian. And he makes a point about how Prabhupada was a theologian. A theologian is one who is actually establishing a doctrine according to time, place, and circumstances, and takes the essence, the essence of the teachers, of the scripture, and then very expertly presents it according to time, place, and circumstance. So, therefore, he was Prabhupada, the master at whose feet all others sit, undoubtedly, yes. It was with his extraordinary love for Krishna that he was able to go into the Western world. And it was out of that extraordinary love for Krishna that he could develop this spirit of compassion. No one could have that. It's easy to say, romantic, preaching to the hippies on the Lower East Side. But if we go east, even if I go to the Lower East Side nowadays in New York, I go, oh my God, what a dump, right? Oh God, the streets are black, dirty. You know, I went into this Tompkins Square Park, right? Ah, there is the tree. Oh yes, you know, I am a Dutchman by birth and a very Protestant country, so in Holland, in these kind of countries, everything is simple, not too colorful like in the Catholic countries. So, you know, sometimes devotees come in Vrindavan and they start hugging the trees, with great devotion. Being Dutch, you know, I could never get myself to hug trees, to tell you the truth. But that tree, I hugged it. I did. I went there in Tompkins Square Park and I hugged that tree. There's a sign on the tree. It says, put by the city council, says Hare Krishna tree. And next to the sign of the pathway, there is an explanation which says that this is the tree where the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness began his movement by performing public kirtan. So it's pretty good. Anyway, I gave the tree a hug and said a little prayer. And as it turned around, one boy comes up to me out of nowhere and says, what do I do to become a monk like you? It's a desire tree. There's no doubt about it. It's absolutely a desire tree. So, Prabhupada made desire trees in the world, many tirthas, wherever he went, transformed places, transformed people, transformed everything. And now, how is it all going on? Where, oh where, is another Prabhupada? Oh where is the next one? And some have been looking, even little outside the movement. Maybe some elderly Swami, some God brother. But Prabhupada himself already said, my spiritual master, not an ordinary spiritual master. He already said, my God brothers can't replace me. All right. Then some thought maybe somewhere in ISKCON. Others thought, Radha Kunda, Shama Kunda, Giri Govinda, all these things, yes. Some thought maybe the Babaji's. So different people have thought, looked for some replacement. Because how will we carry on? Some have asked the question, is your guru a Paramaprista Priya Sakhi? And if is he a Paramaprista Priya Sakhi? Is he? And if he's not Paramaprista Priya Sakhi then how can he give you praying? Oh, yes, some of us question. But it's very simple. Say, no, my guru is not a Paramaprista Priya Sakhi that I know. Maybe he is, but I don't know these things. All that I know is that my guru is a postman. He's a simple person. Very simple, my guru. He's not nothing good. He's a postman. He's just a postman. He just carries the message. Nothing else. Simple. He doesn't change it. He faithfully carries the message as he has heard from his spiritual master, Evam Paramparampartam Imam Rajar Singh Vidu. As he knows it from the disciplic succession, he carries it unaltered. He presents it. Yes. My spiritual master is just a simple person. He's a postman. Yes. So that is the spirit. Yesterday I listened to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and he said, yes, even the liberated souls, they still have to take shelter. They still have to take shelter. The jiva always has to take shelter. That is our only position, to take shelter. Not on the strength of our own greatness, our own realization, we'll be able to do anything. By taking shelter. Well, one last thing I want to say. We'll take 5 minutes or so. Is something that's important to me. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited by some Brahmanas. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I cannot accept any offerings. I can only accept offerings from a Lakpati. So 500 years ago, to be a Lakpati was, you had to be very wealthy to have a. Nowadays, a lakh is nothing. But although some of us wouldn't mind. But a lakhpati 500 years ago, that was a lot. So all the brahmanas, no one was a lakhpati. So everybody's they were very sorry. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I will only accept the invitation of a lakhpati of one who chants 1 lakh of names. That's a lakhpati. So then, from that day on, all the brahmanas chanted 64 rounds, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take offerings, take prasad in their house. So this is the reference on which one can claim that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, once you chant 64 rounds, yeah, this comes up from time to time. Yeah. So, and then we see that Srila Prabhupada brought it down. He brought it down from 64 to 32 to 25 to 16, no less, he said. Yes, but when Prabhupada brought it down, what did he do? Did he just bring down the number of rounds to make it easier for us to chant? No? Oh no? No, he lowered the threshold for entering into the spiritual world. He actually lowered the requirement by his mercy. He brought it down, the requirement of surrender. He brought it down to 16 rounds. Same result. 16 rounds for regulative principles back to Godhead program. So he brought down the number of rounds, but still gave the thing in the full quality. Yes, yes, you want cheaper price? Yes, I'll give you cheaper price. Yes, as cheap as you want, I'll give it to you. And I'll give you rubbish. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. We'll water it down. But no, he gave the full message in full potency. On many occasions, Prabhupada said, 16 rounds, four regulated principles, you'll go back to Godhead. There is this lecture where he explains how Hiranyakasipu got the benediction of Brahma, not in the day, not in the night, not inside, not outside, and all these things. And that the Lord upheld it, because Visi Uchu, the saintly personality, said, yes, the Lord upholds the word of the saintly person. And then Prabhupada said, so if the sadhu says you chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles and you'll go back to Godhead, then you must go. In Portland, Prabhupada said, 16 rounds, four regulative principles, you'll go back to Godhead. I guarantee it, I guarantee it, I guarantee it. Three times. So that also is a good point. Yes, so this morning I met one of the leaders in the Ritvik movement, right, who smiled at me from, when are you gonna give it all up, you know? What makes you think that you are qualified? And there were two, and he said, and they said, we know all about you. Oh my God. Anyway. Yeah. Well, we're trying to be postmen. That's all. Just postmen. Nothing special. And Prabhupada, he prayed to Krishna. He prayed to Krishna, all right, in the modern world, who can chant 64 rounds? Very few people every day. All right, bring it down to 16. And he prayed to Krishna to please give the same mercy at 16. And Prabhupada did so much service that with his service he purchased Krishna. He purchased Krishna. And therefore, Krishna obliged. And Prabhupada could bring it down from 64 till to 16. We can only say four regulative principles and 16 rounds. No less. Nothing less. No negotiation. Non-negotiable. But because our service is not so great that we can ask Krishna to bring it down or make any adjustments. But if we faithfully just ask the same thing, Prabhupada's promise still stands. It still stands. So the Ritviks are right. that Prabhupada is a key person in the equation, and that without him it wouldn't work. It's on the strength of Prabhupada's promise that I feel confident to ask someone to chant 16 rounds of four regulative principles, and that then I'm sure that he'll go back to Godhead. Even although I'm just a postman, insignificant person whose name may not be remembered. So many names in the parampara that may not be remembered. But as long as the postman does his job, the message reaches. And in that way, Yaradiki Taraka Krishna Upadesh Amarakari Guru Taraka Edesh. In that way, one can become a spiritual master and deliver the entire world. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments? Any corrections?
Thank you. Thank you for a spectacular class. Last point you made about Srila Prabhupada knowing closure. Also, Abhinandan tells a story. First Mayapur Festival, I went to 1984. He told how all the leaders in Calcutta were chanting 32 rounds a day. So they were very proud. They proudly told Srila Prabhupada, yes, we're chanting 32 rounds a day. Srila Prabhupada, he got upset. He said, I didn't tell you to chant 32 rounds a day. I told you to chant 16 rounds a day and go out and make 5 members. So just to add what you were saying, I think Srila Prabhupada's emphasis was for devotees to do more preaching.
Yeah. True. Okay. Still, I think that there are many other occasions where Prabhupada also encouraged us to chant more. Why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds, he said. So, not that we stay home chanting all day, but also not that when we're home that we just finish our 16 rounds and hang the beak back on the doorknob. When Prabhupada said, in France, whose beak bag is crying on the doorknob? Actually, it was the beak bag of the GBC. Anyway, so what to do? Yes. So my lecture was not about about the number of rounds, although at the end I brought it in. My lecture was more about how the parampara is not broken, and how it is actually simple, and how the potency of the previous acharyas is present today. I invoked the six Goswamis shortly by mentioning Krishna, Kirtana, Gana, Narayana, and Paro, because we depend on the six Goswamis. A chai guru karam charana vandan yamahite viknanas avista puran, that by taking shelter of the six Goswamis, all obstacles will be destroyed in our heart and fulfillment will be attained. So also our movement is not like 77 anymore, And it's very different now. 77, still, everyone was kind of young, Now we look back at ourselves, Like I know myself at that age, I thought I knew everything, and now I look at it quite different. So now we have people of all kinds of age groups. We have devotees who have become a little more humble with the age, with time. Time has that effect. It makes you bow down. Slowly, by time, we bow down. And they begin to realize I saw here how the Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day was being observed, and that was the one day that all Prabhupada's god brothers would come and they would glorify him. And I saw how Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj was growing old. He used to come and he used to describe things he shared with Prabhupada. But then the last time he came, he was 93 years old, and four brahmacharis carried him and sort of dropped him on the Vyasasa. I thought, oh my God. And then he said something, he didn't give a lecture, he said, Swamiji, he made you all Vaishnavas. He said, and Vaishnavas can give blessings, so please bless me. And I thought, like, wow, that's 93 years old, you know, that's 93 years old. When at the end of life you realize that all the service I've done is not so much. Yeah. My time's running out, and now what, you know? Now I need all the blessings I can get. And he glorified Prabhupada because he said, Swamiji made you all Vaishnavas, yeah? Which is a big thing to acknowledge. These Westerners, you know, Malanchas, real Vaishnavas, acknowledged it. And then he said, and Vaishnavas can give blessings. You please bless me. Understanding that the service I've done is not enough. I need the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, all of them, if I want to be successful in this life. So with that, I want to end and beg you all. I need the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, and then hope to Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam.